Hello and welcome to the Stubbs Cast, the content creator podcast where I interview content creators in the gaming field, journalists, even a game developer recently. It's all under one brand. And we get feedback, how they got into content creation, tips and tricks, and all sorts about the journey they've had into content creation. If you like the Stubbs Cast and you're listening after the fact on Spotify, please drop us a 5-star because we've now got a rating system. And also Apple Podcasts, if you feel that we're good enough to give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. So this week we have Animated Evils, and he's actually a panel member of Midweek Gaming. But I might let you tell you how many podcasts he's actually on, because this man is on, he's on loads. How are you doing, Animated Evil?
I am very, very, very good, sir. Do you know what? I really appreciate the invite today. I'm honoured to be here. That's quite proud that you've invited me, to be fair. I mean, I've watched your Stubbs Cast things before, and some of the people I've had on are just, do you know what? I've followed them for years. And do you know, here I am. Thank you.
No, I have been meaning to get to it. And when it comes to Stubbs Cast, it had a big hiatus for a bit and it came back, then disappeared again. And I'm going to try and keep it more regular, but you're definitely deserving to be on it. Plus, you're on the Midweek Gaming panel and you're the only one that hasn't been on the show. I can't tempt VJ to come on because I've tried to get him because, well, I'm not a content creator, I'm just a podcaster. So he doesn't really want to come on, so. You know, but it's good to have you on. Welcome to everyone in the chat. Pixel Slapper, UK Dazarus, VJ, who else? We've got Masuku as well. Also Back from the Dead, I think, I've seen in there as well. Thanks for popping in, everybody. Sure, it'll be a fun chat. So do you want to tell people all the shows you're on? They are in the thumbnail, but you are on a lot.
You say all. I fear that I sometimes stretch myself very thin on the things I do. So I'm busy. It's not so much just the shows, unfortunately. I'm pretty much busy every night of the week. So what day would you like to start on? Let's start on a Sunday, okay? Because, you know, that's okay. Apparently the first day of the week. So Sunday, for my sins, I am on the Flemish Experience. After that, sometimes I go on to Twitch. Monday is usually my Twitch day, but I've been trying to take Mondays off lately. Tuesday, I Twitch. Wednesday, I'm on with you and the guys at Midweek Gaming. Thursdays, I try to Twitch, then I'm on 4GQ TV. And Friday and Saturday, I am co-host on Community Game Night.
You are. Yeah,
5 nights a week, brother.
That's 5 nights a week. It's crazy. I can't even fathom. Because obviously I do plastic platforms with Centurion. Once every four. We haven't done recently because of stuff in the background. But when I do it, and I've booked a plastic platforms, but obviously Midweek Gaming, and I go and book a Stubbs Cast. I feel like overwhelmed, but like you do 5 days standard.
I've been trying to take Mondays off because I have been stretching myself very, very thin. So yeah.
Do you play games anymore, or is it just podcasting and working?
I do. That's the whole reason for the. A Twitch channel, I suppose.
It gives me a chance
to play games and still talk like I do. The thing is, I'm quite social, and I just can't seem to shut up sometimes. So I use it to air out my just talkativeness, I suppose. But yeah, I do play games. Yes, quite often.
Yeah, that was a bit of a joke. I've got to get more social, get back into playing multiplayer on Community Game Night. I have. I haven't done it in ages. I haven't become a solo gamer. Like Tushy would say, you've become a PlayStation game.
Do you know what? I have to agree sometimes.
I can't disagree with that. Welcome, Boba Fett Gaming. Welcome. VJ, just so you know, you are slacking because I have actually had UK Dazarus on the podcast before. It's in the archive. You can find it. So, yeah, he's been on Swearcast.
The Swearcast. Is that what you called it for the day? The Swearcast.
No, I didn't. The Dazcast takeover, really, it was. It was a good show, that was. It was. But yes, there's Dazcast, rest in peace. Quality show, that was. So how did you get into gaming? When, how far back we're talking?
How did I get into gaming? Wow. Do you know what? I'm not so young. Christmas 1987, I think. I was 6 years old.
The year? Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it was Christmas 1986, 1987, one of those. So I was either 5 or 6 years old. Never played a game before in my life, and my parents, they bought me something called the Atari XL 600 or the Atari 600 XL. It was the Atari that you could take a cartridge, but it had a full keyboard as well. It's a very interesting console, and remember it.
Sounds good.
I do remember it. There was one game I remember called it's called Mikey or Mickey. Yeah, if you ever look it up on YouTube, it's so crap. But that's where I started. 1986/87, one of those years. So all the way back in there.
You're a little bit older than me then.
Yes, I was. I will turn 41 this year, dude.
Oh, I don't know.
Old, yeah. Are you 30?
I can't think how old I am, actually.
I think you're about 38 this year, I think.
I was born in 1984, December. I'm 38 this year. I always forget.
Yeah, 38
this
year.
You're slightly older than me then. You are. But yeah, the Atari. It's not a console I've had.
Was it a console because it had a full keyboard? It was more of a
true. I played with the Commodore 64 when I was younger as well, and that had a keyboard. Mr. Angry and stuff like that.
Would you call the Commodore a console? You wouldn't, would you? It's like a PC Lite. It's a hybrid.
It is like a PC Lite. Yeah, you're definitely right there. Yeah, you got a good point. It is more like a PC Lite. Yeah, it is. If that's a term, probably not.
No. It had like a big cartridge slot on the back. Oh, you could put the cartridges and stuff, and it came with a full keyboard and the little joystick and stuff. But I loved it. That was the first time I'd ever seen such things. I mean, we're talking 1986, dude. That's a lifetime ago.
It was back when they fought, what was it? Space Invaders were the devil.
No, it was well after Space Invaders. That was 70s. It? Yeah,
that was
Space
the 70s. Invaders was
70s, before I was born. Yeah,
a lot of people but a lot of people used to think that, though, even then.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's still going to this day, that game is. They're still releasing it. New versions. Obviously, it's not 3D, though.
UK Dazarus says that the C64 was the best computer ever. I'm assuming he remembers Horace Goes Skiing, right? That was a game.
He most likely will remember it. Yeah. Welcome from Mav Fun Speculation. Thanks for popping in. But yes, I bet VJ will definitely remember this console.
Yeah. So the thing is, as well, though, there's been so many going through the years that I think that's just where I started. There's been so many. So I've been playing games since all the way back then. We're talking 34 years now. So, yeah.
Nice. Were you like a Sega guy?
So I'll give you a little sort of rundown of where I went to, because I did. I wasn't spoiled as such as a child, but I had not the best things, but I sort of I'd hit a generation and missed a generation. But my parents kept me in sort of the newest stuff when they could.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
So obviously from the Atari, I think I got the Spectrum 128, which again was with the keyboard, but it had the cassette player. And the kids out there today don't know what the cassette is.
Yeah, they don't. They really don't. It's like a CD. They're starting to not know what CDs are.
And do you know what? Not one of those people out there can complain about any loading times whatsoever until they've played the Spectrum on a cassette.
Facts. You should say it should be part of the gaming history. Before you get this new modern console, you've got to experience the Commodore and Atari.
Yeah. It takes 12 seconds to load. 12 seconds. 45 minutes and it crashed on side two. Really? Come on. But from the Spectrum, I think I went into Sega Mega Drive, which of course in the American space that was the Genesis. I missed the Master System, so I didn't get to play Alex the Kid. I did play it on friends' consoles, but again, I went from the Spectrum, kept that for a few years, and missed the Master System. Went to the Mega Drive, and then I also had the Mega CD, which was, for me, revolutionary when it first came out. The first games on it wasn't the first games on disc, but for me, it was the first games on disc. It was like, what do you mean it's on a CD? What? From the Mega CD, I think I went PS1, PS2, and I was so in love with the PlayStation era, PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2. I had the Dreamcast before the PlayStation.
Much variety in the PS1, PS2. I mean, I know they say there's more variety now, but there really was then. Like a lot of the games were all there is variety now, obviously, but I believe back in the PS1, PS2, there was just tons of variety in real kids games. You can't really nowadays say there's tons of kids. Well, apart from Nintendo, you can't really say there's that many real good children's games about. There isn't, but there was back then. It's Spyro and all that.
Did you have the PS1?
I had the PS1, PS2.
Do you remember that demo that came with it, that dinosaur that you could move around and stuff? And there was and there was also the Stingray you could move about. How revolutionary was that? In my eyes, that was amazing.
Now I don't you say it, a brief memory, but I'm going to have to look up this demo and see if there's a video online, but... I remember
there was a tech demo that came with the release of the. I'm sure it was a PlayStation 1. I'm sure it was where there was a T-Rex you could move around and stuff, and then there was a Stingray as well that you could make swim about. And it was the first one you could. I think the PlayStation was the first time you could. Was it because it was a CD player as well, wasn't it? So it's.
It was a CD player as well. It's quite PS. It was a good console, that was. But yeah, I'm getting shit off Daz, apparently. Stubbs, you have hair. Now, technically, Daz, currently, I do have hair. You know, where you get it at sides and you look like a monk. That's kind of what I look like in a minute.
Yeah.
It's like once my auntie said to me, oh, you look like a monk. Why? You need to keep your head shaved. You look like a monk. So I need to get it shaved. But welcome to our friendly pest. Thanks for popping in, Muppet. Cheers for popping in. And also, ACS Husk. How you doing? But yeah.
Hi, guys.
Some good consoles there. The PlayStation was... I didn't hear you mention the... Hang on.
Same time as I had the PlayStation, I had the Dreamcast as well.
Well done. I didn't have one. Minecraft had one. But I played it loads and loads, and
I've still got two upstairs.
I've rebought one. I've got one upstairs, but I'm gonna get a mod for it
The reason I have two. Okay, so the Dreamcast, I think its main problem was it was so easy to use ISOs as the games, and obviously I was in my very late teens at this point. Yeah. I think I was old enough to be learning to drive, and my driving instructor said, "Do you know you've got a Dreamcast?" I went, "Yeah, I've got a Dreamcast." And he says, "Do you know you can get copied games on that?" I went, "Really?" He says, "Yeah, all you need is the boot up disc, and just blue tack your little thing down inside." Okay, so
really?
All you needed to get copied games on the Dreamcast, and I'm not condoning this, and I'm not saying I ever did it. However, what you told me, if you blue tack the little pin down inside, it thinks the disc's closed. So you put your boot up disc in, you turn it on, apparently. Yeah. I'm going to go with allegedly, okay? And once the game's booted, you take your boot up disc out and you put your copied disc in, it would play it.
And
that was a bit of an issue. But what it turned out was, it kind of damaged your laser in some way. I've got a Dreamcast upstairs that will only play a disc if the unit itself is upside down.
Oh, wow. That's crazy, that is. So now you can actually take.
I used to have to put the disc in and flip the console upside down so it would play. Yeah,
that's crazy. That is. But nowadays, what you do is there's the CD drive, and I haven't done it. I've got friends that have done it, and what you do is you take the actual disc drive out, and there's a hard drive mod you can put in. And you put all the ISOs on it, and you can have every Dreamcast ever made, and you can play it. It's like the Series S, but obviously it's like the Dreamcast version.
Okay, fair enough.
You can do that. You can. I haven't done that yet, but Sega. I don't think Sega are too bothered about people modding Dreamcast now, do you? I don't somehow.
No, I'm sure the people at Sega are not going to come knocking on the door and saying, "Excuse me, we've heard on the Stubbscast that you have a." Well, the thing is, it wasn't technically modded. You didn't have to do anything to it. It was a piece of blue tack and a dodgy disc. That's all it was.
Exactly, you're right there. You are.
Yeah. So, I was an avid PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2. I was a PlayStation guy. I really was.
Fair enough. It's what you like. It's what you like. It is. Were there any favorite games you had on the PlayStation that stand out?
Unfortunately, and everyone's going to sort of stop watching right now. It was probably on the PlayStation 1 that got me seriously into gaming. Went round to a friend's house, and we played a few games and stuff like that. I mean, I remember one of my favorite games being on the Mega Drive with NBA Jam. I thought that was amazing. That was such a great game. Loved NBA Jam on the Sega. But I think what got me into serious gaming, where I just got completely hooked, and my mates go, "You're coming out this? Are you gonna come out hang out tonight?" "No, I'm playing this game." I went round to a friend's house one Saturday.
Yeah, okay.
He goes up to his bedroom. Said, "Are we going uptown?" He goes, "Yeah, give me a minute." I said, "Oh, what's this game?" He saw it's the new Final Fantasy. I was like, "Well, it looks interesting." He goes, "I don't really like it, so I'm not sure." He said, "Do you want to borrow it for the weekend?" I went, "Yeah, go on." And it was Final Fantasy VII.
Daz is talking about that in the chat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly, Daz. This is where I'm getting to. And he lent me his disc of Final Fantasy VII. And that was the game that I just obsessed over. So that was the first one at that time. And I think I was about 15, 16 years old, maybe 14, around the area. And it was just, wow, this is just, I just got so absorbed into it. But there's loads on the PlayStation that I remember. Like there was a French game called Evil Twin, which was fantastic.
Okay.
Evil Twin, yeah.
I've heard of that one. I
haven't. It didn't sell very well, I don't think, but I loved it. It was a sort of Jekyll and Hyde type game. Can't remember who made it. There was obviously Spyro was on the PlayStation, wasn't it? And
it was the old GTA, the top down GTA, the first one I ever played.
Another one that stands out that it was Medieval, if you ever played that.
I had played that, yes. I remember that one.
What else? Pandemonium. Remember that?
That rings a bell. That was probably
one of the first sort of 3D-ish ones I played, Pandemonium. That was really good. That was another one I fell in love with back in the PlayStation Croc. 1 days.
That's just come to mind, Croc. Is that a game? Sure. Croc comes
to mind. That doesn't ring a bell.
It does for me. It's on PS1 or PS2, but
oh, yes, Muppet Destruction Derby, yes. Of course.
That was classic. There was,
so there was that, because that I used to get a few family members involved in playing two-player Destruction Derby. There was that. I used to play when I first met my brother-in-law. My God, all them years ago, Jesus. She's been married to my sister for 20-odd years now. And there was another game called True Pinball. And we used to have this competition. There was four tables. There was a Viking table that we just could not leave alone. And I don't know if anyone remembers True Pinball, but that's been... Oh, it's... I wish they would bring a table like the Viking table off that on Pinball FX. Yeah.
It's not the pinball games. I don't know. Do people still play pinball games? Because there are pinball games about. So I didn't know if they were popular or not.
There's a free to play one on Xbox called Pinball FX, and you can get Pinball FX 2 and 3. 3 is brilliant. I even bought a couple of tables the other week. Actually, I refused to buy tables, even though it's a free to play game. I refuse to buy tables, but there's a Fox sort of group of tables, which is Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, American Dad, and I think Archer, I think something like that. They're really good fun. But yeah, pinball's still a big thing in the world, Stubbs.
Oh, I'll have to try it out again. So I'm guessing by that statement by Daz in chat, that he plays pinball games as well. So, but yeah, it's interesting that is. So, moving on from the PlayStation, did you get the PS3?
No. So this is really weird. So I had the PS2, and it was.
Yeah.
At this point, I had my own house. I was like 18, 19, whatever, before the PS3 was launched. Life happened, and I moved in with my best mate. And when he moved in, he brought this horrible big black box thing with a horrible controller. I said, what the... Can I swear?
Yeah.
I mean, I like to swear. So I said, what the fuck is that? He goes, that's the Xbox. What the... look at it. It's horrible. How... What... I've grown up on these, on PlayStation. But had PlayStation for years. What is that? He said, "Look, don't judge it. It's brilliant." I said, "Look, it's like a big square box, and it's the original Xbox." And he gave me the Duke controller. I was like, "No, this is uncomfortable." He said, "Right, sit down. We'll plug it in." And he says, "I know you. Play this game." And so he loaded this game up, and it was called Full Spectrum Warrior. I don't know if you ever played that on the original Xbox, or if anyone remembers it in the chat. But yes, as soon as I played Full Spectrum Warrior on the Xbox, I can't remember when I turned my PlayStation on after that.
Really?
Really,
he
yeah.
He went from, look at that big piece of crap.
Look at that piece of shit. It's absolutely ugly. It's just disgusting. The controller was awful. I couldn't control it. And then I played a few games. He went, oh, this is brilliant. But that's the one that stands out that turned me over to Xbox, Full Spectrum Warrior. But it reminded me of a game on the Dreamcast. That's also a PC game called Hidden and Dangerous, where you control, it was World War II, you control a squad of people and you can sort of pincer people round and things like that. And you can very much like Ghost Recon came out to be. Do you remember Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, where you could tell your guys to go that way and you go that way? And it was very much like that. It was very much like a basic version of that. So you could send your men round a wall to draw fire while you snuck around and just shot him in the back of the Swede, as it was. But from that point, I was Xbox all the way. So I as soon as this 360 came out, I pre-ordered it. As soon as the Xbox One came out, I pre-ordered it.
Nice. Oh, yeah. I didn't. I wasn't. I don't think I got a 360 until Gears 2 was coming out. I didn't.
So for the 360, I was so in love by this point. When the 360 was announced, I was so in love with the Xbox and all the games we were playing that I actually, because they couldn't guarantee me what day it was going to be delivered.
Okay.
So I basically took a week off work and just sat and waited for it to turn up. I did.
Wow, fair enough. Nice. But yeah. Welcome, Jay, the graphic god. Thanks for popping in. It's good to see you in chat. And if you don't know who Jay is, the graphic god, he made this thumbnail, this overlay here you see now. So if you want any good gamer picture, any work done, www.gamerpix.com. www.xboxgamerpix.com, and Jay will sort you out. He will. But yeah, that's it's a good story about Xbox. Like that is, it's quite unique. That
is it?
And the game you mentioned, because everyone just mentions, oh, Halo, or Splinter Cell, the old bang on about.
I'm a massive fan of Splinter Cell, but I can't. That wasn't the first sort of. It wasn't the thing that turned me. I mean, Halo has never been my thing because I'm not a first person guy.
That's fair enough, because it's not my first choice, as you know. But try not to say it, that word.
I think I always looked at first person and I just think, oh, that just looks horrible. I don't understand. Where's his body and feet, what's going on? I just don't get it, because growing up back in the day, that wasn't a view you used to get. It wasn't one of those things, is it? California Games would never work in first person, would it? Let's be honest. It wasn't until I was talking to a friend at work and we were talking about Xbox and things like that. He said, oh yeah, I've just finished the new Call of Duty. I said, you've just finished what? He said, Call of Duty. I said, and what's that? It's a shooter game. I said, what are you talking about? He said, tell you what, I'll bring you a disc in. And it was, I think he lent me Call of Duty 2. So okay. Call of Duty 2 was my first first-person shooter.
Nice. It's crazy to think now. I think how far you are in the future. Now, I think I might be wrong, but I think they're on the Call of Duty, if you were to number them all. I think they're on number 15 or 17 now.
Oh, at least, at least.
Something like that. But no, that's a... But Call of Duty 2.
It was.
Call of Duty to like Modern Warfare 3.
Wow.
I had missed the whole boom on Call of Duty Modern Warfare 1. I'd missed that, I think. No, I think I had a Modern Warfare 2. I went back to that, but I used to play loads of Call of Duty years ago online. I can't do it no more though.
See, again, that was never a thing. I was never an online player. Yes and no. It took me ages to hook my 360 up online. It really did. I was always about the single player. I've always been sort of story driven. Your things like I don't know. So even Call of Duty 2, it might have had a multiplayer. I don't know. I played the single player campaign and thought, yeah, that was good. There's your disc back. It wasn't a thing. Never plugged in anything before the 360 into the internet.
Because there were certain games. It's like, because I had this problem with people I knew, and some people I knew at that time didn't have internet. And I had to have them come around my house to put, because there was certain games where when you put it in your 360, this may not have happened to you, but there was certain games that wouldn't work without an update being connected to the internet. I believe Gears 3 never worked if you didn't update it. You had to plug it in, you had to plug it into the internet for it to, and then you could unplug it and play it again. You could, but that was the first memories of me having to have a patch where the game wouldn't work.
I think probably Gears was probably one of my first forays into multiplayer.
So you know the words to use, don't you?
Well, yeah, it was probably my first foray into multiplayer because before that I wasn't really interested, but I had a girlfriend at the time who ended up being back in Gears 1. She joined this clan. You remember clans, right?
Oh, bloody hell. And she must have been good. It was rough back then. Wow.
She was. She was actually competition Gears at the point. Wow. Gears 1.
That's incredible.
She's. I don't talk to her today because she'll. If I go online with her, she'll kick my ass. The thing is, she'd never played games before, so she became my girlfriend. We'd been together a couple of years by then. Got playing games and stuff, and she started playing the multiplayer. And I said, "Yeah, come, we'll have a go." And she's just like, "How are you this good? How are you this good?" And she just smiled at me. She's like, "All right, okay." And then when we split up, sort of thing, we used to play online together, and I just refused to play games with her. Seriously good. Back in the day, seriously good.
See, I never played back then. I didn't play multiplayer, actual multiplayer, where like you play against actual players until like Gears 4. I used to play horde mode rather than actual multiplayer because it was quite toxic back then. If you weren't very good, you'd get sent a lot of messages and all sorts and voice messages being told to F off and all that. It was it was very bad back then, but I wasn't very good, to be fair. I wasn't back then. But it happens in all games, happens in Halo, happens everywhere. You get that everywhere. But then again, in them days, it was just normal. People weren't bothered. But nowadays, it's a whole... You know, you can't say anything nowadays, can you? You can't.
No, but let's be honest. The Call of Duty lobbies back then were brilliant.
Oh, they were funny. They were.
Oh, the thing is, rather than... I was a member of a few clans and things like that. We used to play a lot of games multiplayer, like Rainbow Six Las Vegas. That was probably one of my favourites to play in. Even co-op. We used to all get together on a Friday or Saturday, log into obviously Rainbow Six Vegas and do a terrorist hunt, do like a 14-13, just do terrorist hunt on that. Or we'd go in Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, or we'd go, I tell you what I ended up doing, I'll tell you that in a minute, but we'd go and we'd do lots of games on Ghost Recon and things like that. It turned out I was quite good at Ghost Recon, okay, because it's third person, it's squad based. Yeah. I ended up being sort of pulled into this clan that was very, very serious. They put everything on realistic. We used to jump into Xbox 360, we used to jump into parties and stuff, but we all had to have code names rather than saying, we all had to have team, you had to have squad members, team members, and code names and stuff. I'm sure I was Bravo Dog at some point. I'm sure that was my code name. But if seriously, there were like all these American guys and stuff. I did make some really fast friends from that type of gaming experience. But it was just looking back now, you think, who did we think we were? Like some sort of elite soldier group? There'd be guys going, Bravo Dog, come in. This is Charlie Sierra 3. It's like, what would? At the time, it was fun. Do you know what I mean? It was good. It was you just got absorbed into this sort of whole ethos. But looking back, you just think, you dick.
Oh, I bet that was quite serious, mate. I bet you used to have arguments over it.
There was a chain of command stubs. It was organized. You have like lieutenants and colonels and all sorts of things going on. Because you'd sort of jump into sort of squads of four, and whoever was in charge, they'd have the thingy, but they'd be the captain. So if they said we're going there, that's the direction you took. It was very serious. And I look back.
Was there a court and jury?
I look back and I think what was the point? But it was fun because it was new and we didn't know what we were doing, and It's cringe. What everyone would call cringe right now. You think, really? Oh, we did that, but we did it. There was at least 45 of us that would meet up and make these big games and stuff, and everybody stuck to the code and called each other's nicknames and stuff, and you knew who was on your squad. And it was weird. It was really weird.
Yes.
Yeah, you Bravo know. Dog. That was my call sign.
Oh, that is crazy. That is to hear that. Good night, Muppet. Thanks for popping in. You've got to pop off now.
So, good night, dude.
But yeah, that was actually a fun story. That was. I wasn't expecting you to say anything like that. That's good. That is. That was a good one. Very serious clan, but it sounded fun as well. It did. We had a clan with our mates when we were playing. We used to play Call of Duty. The name's a bit juvenile. What the clan was called. It was called FUDV. Now, bearing in mind, this was back when we were younger. And it meant, do you ever hear of the lead at Treyarch? Was David Vonderhaar.
Yeah.
So, FU, David, that's what it was.
Oh, really?
Well, we were that stupid. When you know when the servers are shit, we used to blame him. But my mate got too serious once and posted something on Twitter. I'm not saying what it was, but I told him to delete it. He's why? I says, you'll have bloody MI5 at the front door.
Yeah, well,
you know, you know trolling when people go too far.
Yeah,
he deleted it. I says, you're lucky you didn't get no visit knock on the front door. So, do you know what I mean? But no, it was fun back then with Call of Duty. It was, but then bloody people that sit in corners and lay on the floor. You weren't one of them, were you?
No, definitely not. No, I'm more of a, I can't sit still. I've tried to snipe in Call of Duty. I'll lay there and go, right, there's no one coming. As soon as I get up, I get shot. It's like, oh, really? You were there? 2 minutes longer and I'd have got you. But no, I can't. I've got to run around and be a dickhead. Yeah. But luckily for us, when we were in these clans, Twitter wasn't even a thing. We're talking early in the 360 days. I was a member of three clans. There was Carry On Gaming, obviously called COG. That was quite good. There was the Dark Knights. The clan tag was DK. And then there was another one called TZA, which stands for the Zombie Army. And it was actually ran by Rob Zombie, would you believe? Seriously,
crazy. There was Rob Zombie,
as in the director, as in the Rob Zombie, the director. It was actually his.
Oh, okay.
Because he was an avid. I don't know if he still is. He was an avid gamer back in the day. I think the members in TZA was Jesus Christ. There was about 80,000 of us. Just one big massive clan on the internet called the TZA. Yeah, the Zombie Army, and it was actually owned by the director Rob Zombie.
That is very,
so there you go.
I was
a member. I never met him, but of course, it doesn't matter. I was there for it.
Exactly. Tell you what's very interesting. I put the thumbnail up on YouTube and it's not showing the thumbnail. It's showing my YouTube banner in not the right size. That's a bit strange. It is. That's the first time it's done that. That is. That is strange. That is. But no, it's a good chat on clans. So when did you get into, say, the pod? I'm not saying going on podcasts. When did you first? It doesn't have to be even gaming podcasts. When did you first know about what like podcasts were? Like, did you used to be into them before you even got into gaming podcasts?
Not really. I think the first ever type of podcast I remember, okay, there used to be a gaming magazine that came out in the UK called Xbox 360 World. Okay.
I think, I do remember this one.
And they used to send out demo disc in every magazine with a couple of reviews and stuff. And just before the end of their publications, they started doing like a round table podcast on a disc. It wasn't anywhere else. Really? It was just on the disc. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I could probably name a couple of the people that were on the magazine. Tim Weaver, Mike Gapper, Michael Pellett.
You know it well, then, to remember the names.
And there was another guy. Well, because Tim Weaver has gone into writing books, and I've got all of them. So, yeah. So Tim Weaver, Michael Pellett, Michael Gapper, and there was another guy. I apologize if he's listening. I'm sure Mr. Gapper is still a game journalist out there somewhere. Not heard of Mr. Pellett since. But Tim Weaver went into being an author. And they did. They used to release on disc a podcast every month. They used to sit in a table and talk just random shit, but talk about games as well. So that's kind of the first time I've heard of the format. But I don't know what drove me to start listening to any type of podcast, but it was gaming podcasts.
Okay.
And it was actually I sort of stumbled upon Randall Thor.
Wow, yeah. Nice one to stumble upon.
Yeah, stumbled upon him, and he was probably first. And I can't remember if it was Xbox 2 or not, because that's been going for years now. But I did stumble across Randall Thor's videos on YouTube, I think, rather than his podcasts.
Yeah,
and he mentioned something on one of his videos back in the day, and he made a shout out to the guys at 4GQ TV.
Oh, did they? Oh,
so I actively searched out. I thought, who are these guys? So I actively searched out these guys called 4GQ TV. Oh, four guys with quarters when it was, sorry. It's 4GQ TV now as I know it. But it was four guys with quarters, and I thought, okay, I respect what you're doing on your videos and stuff. Let's check these guys out. It was just some guys talking about, you know, games and shit. And I started listening to them. And then it was a case of them, Randall Thor, and then it just sort of escalated. When one of those mentioned another podcast, I'd jump over and listen. It was never something I did religiously. It was just a case of just finding them across YouTube videos. I think, do you know what? I think it was possibly the first time I saw Randall Thor was I searched something in YouTube for a game I was looking at. And might have been a review of Randall Thor, something like that. And that's what got me into sort of the whole watching people do the content creation and the gaming podcasts and stuff. But it was always Randall Thor and Four Guys with Quarters.
Well, that's good to hear. And you'd be pleased to know Randall Thor's actually been on this show.
I know, I watched
it. You've joined the ranks, you have. You've joined the ranks, you have, on here.
So what was the
first podcast you came on? Was it weren't Midweek Gaming, was it? Was it not? I don't know. I can't remember. Or the first invite you got on this?
No,
it was.
That
it? Was.
It's a toss up between you and Flemish.
I don't know. I can't.
So
remember.
The thing is, I don't know if I'm sure people know the story. Okay, I'd never wanted to do this. This is not something I wanted to do. I sort of got into it by accident and got hooked.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you definitely did, yes.
Well, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So the thing is, this whole, even the streaming and the content creation stuff, it's not something I would have thought I would be good at or I would do. So I'm sure you know the origin story, right, of why I'm actually here. But let me, if you don't, let me refresh your listeners anyway, just because many people might not know. So I was sat on one of the podcasts I was watching was Wilmy Hood. I like the Gaming Beyond the Box. They're pretty cool. You watch them. Never used to interact. I never used to interact in chat or anything like that. Never. Yeah, I used to just sit in. I've probably watched many of the people that are out there and stuff. Never really interacted. Sat watching Wilmy Hood, and then this young guy come on, and it was Fun Speculation. And I thought, he said that was his first podcast. And do you know what? I thought, this guy's pretty cool. I wonder if he's got a YouTube channel. So Fun Speculation started his YouTube channel. Hello, Mav, if you're in the chat, by the way. I know he was at some point. Or was he not? I think so.
He was earlier.
Yeah, I was watching him on YouTube one night while I was playing a game. And basically, Mav said, if so-and-so, so-and-so's leaving, I think Tushy was leaving the game. I found out afterwards. It's going to make us odd. It's going to make us like an odd man out. So I randomly thought, you know what? I'm actually doing bugger all. Sent a message, said, if you need another player, I'll jump in. He went, yeah, come on then. And I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to be sat playing the game with him. It'd be pretty cool to see my person on screen. But no, Mav invited me to the party and everything. Got chatting to... So Mav invited me to the party. So here I am on YouTube thinking, what? That's me in YouTube. Wow. Turn that off. I got talking to Assassin Looper.
Oh, lovely lady. She is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She's absolutely fantastic. The godmother of gaming. So she started talking. Oh, yeah, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. And she said, why don't you join us next Saturday, community game night? So the following Saturday, I jumped into community game night as my old name that we're not going to talk about.
Oh, yes.
We you know what, I don't mind people know. Do you know what, I think the story of my old name is best shared amongst friends and stuff, so we're not going to discuss it on here. Okay, it'll probably come up in chat anyway of certain people. Got to talk to Luke. So I joined community game night, met Tushy, met Flamish, and Flamish was like, come on my show. Oh, okay, well, whatever, yeah, come on my show. And then I got a message off Tushy saying, I think Tushy sent you a message saying, get this guy on your show.
Yeah, it's your name. I was like, who the f- is that?
But do you know what? Do you know what I think? I can't remember who got me first, whether it was you or Flamish. But in the first week, in the first fortnight, I did you, Flamish, and Metro Renegades, I think, in the same bloody week.
Excellent show.
It was like, what the fuck? It just sort of went weird. And then all of a sudden it was, and Flamish said, look, I got on really well with Flamish. And I still, you know what? We do get on really, really well. I think me and Flamish on the Flamish Experience do really well together. I think we just sort of, when he stumbles a little bit and gets his words mixed up, I'll just jump in and take over. And we've grown a lot of confidence with each other. And it was just a case of, that was it. Once I got in, Clary said, come every week. I was like, okay. And then I got invited to a few more. And then you were so gracious to ask me to stand in when I was needed, just in case anyone didn't turn up. And then I come on a couple of times and you basically said, yeah, you might as well stay, pal.
Yeah, exactly.
And it went from those few experiences to, do you know what? And then obviously I started joining Tushy every week for community game night. And me and Tushy get on so well that he just basically said, you're co-hosting. It wasn't even a question, I don't think. I think he just went, you're co-host. I went, what? What are you talking about? Every week me and you, it was like, okay. And a lot of people believe that me and Tushy know each other outside of the gaming world, or we know each other pre-community game night. Not at all.
No, you don't.
I've met him once. But we get on so well. And from that, it's just a natural step. I went into sort of pissing around with Twitch to now I've got a YouTube channel as well, but where I've dabbled with a couple of videos, but I'm still not sure what I want to do with my YouTube channel.
It's not easy. It's because I do podcasts and that, and I do know that podcasts don't get big traction, but you need to, I do discuss, I totally enjoy it. I enjoy midweek gaming. But if I was like, you know, the channel to blow up, I know full well that I've got to make videos, and it's an area I'm just terrible at. I am. But you've got to get it right. You can't just like be a cop. You know what I mean? You've got to do something that's going to drive you views. Do you know what I mean? Not like just copy every other, you know, Xbox or PlayStation YouTuber. You see what I mean? You've got to think of something, you know.
You see, I kind of disagree. You see, because I've made a couple of videos and just gone, I don't like how I've done this. Delete it, because even though it was finished and done, I deleted one 3 days ago. I'm just thinking, no.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I did. I've probably spent about a month on it. I've done all the audio, everything, and I've just gone, I just don't like it. Wouldn't interest me as a person to watch it. So I just went delete. Are you sure you want to delete this file? Yep. So I'm going to start again. But it's not, for me, it's not about views. It's about me having fun doing it. It's about, I don't know, it's about me getting across my best self and saying, this is what I think, not what anybody else. It doesn't matter. I couldn't give a monkey's if it gets zero views or a million views. It doesn't matter. It's not about views for me. It's about me enjoying myself doing it. And I found that video was so, it took me so long to do. And I just thought, do you know what? It wasn't worth it. So I've just, yeah, I just went, nope, off you go.
It is true. I mean, I just meant in the sense if I was trying to blow up the channel, but in reality, I've spoke to a lot of obviously over the time on this podcast, and a regular theme that does come up is if you obsess over numbers, it will destroy you. Even Rand said that at one point to me, I'm sure. I spoke to Indie Gamer a lot. I do. It is a regular theme that comes up saying if you obsess over the numbers too much, you will quit YouTube. You've really got to do it for the fun of YouTube, the fun of doing it. It's like a Stubbscast. I love midweek gaming, but I do prefer the one-on-one interviews slash conversations with creators. But because it's a more one-on-one personal thing, that is. But I also enjoy midweek gaming. That's also fun. It's all for fun because there is obviously kids out there that actually believe, I can. They look at a ninja or somebody and think, I'm going to become an overnight sensation, and it just doesn't happen. One in a million or something happens to, but you've got to do it for fun. If you don't do it for fun and you look at numbers and you think you're going to blow up overnight, it's not going to happen. It's got to be fun.
Absolutely, and that's what I do it for. I mean, most of the time, my Twitch is just me talking. Do you know what? When I play games, I sit and talk to myself anyway, so I might as well do it in front of a camera and at least have people like Masuko, Dazarus, who just join religiously. Masuko especially, he's always there. We have a good chat, and it makes the game fun for me. That's why I do Twitch. I find myself in the short time I've done Twitch, I've already garnered 70 followers. Nice. Which to
are
me
you affiliated?
I am, yes. Well, which to me is astronomical because I've not been doing it that long. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's irrelevant how many followers I've got anyway, but to know that those people are going, this is actually quite fun. That's what makes it more interesting to me. But yeah, it's not about the numbers. It's about the engagement with other people and stuff.
No, I definitely agree with that because, we're actually streaming live on Twitch now, I believe. Yeah, we are.
Yay.
But I'm also affiliated as well, but I don't do a lot of streaming. If you ever see my channel go live, it'll be the Midweek Gaming or Stubbscast or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't really do it. But a lot of people do it. Do enjoy streaming, and fair play. I do watch streams sometimes, but I often miss them. I'm like, I am following you, but I think you need to promote your streams maybe a bit more. Or drop one in the DM, then I know you're live. I'll pop in. I will. I'm terrible. I am.
But
Twitch streams. I am.
I don't like to be a pain in the bottom, though. That's the problem. That's the thing. I don't want to be going up. I don't want to be one of those. Oh, follow me! Come on, hello, here I am. Do you know what? I'll drop it in my Twitter and say, look, come and hang if you want. If not, it's fine. Whatever. That's more my style. If I'm being honest, I'm not a self promoter.
Yeah, I'm not because on Midweek Gaming, I never say halfway through. I think every so often, please like, share, and subscribe. I don't do that. I don't. You have to prompt me at the end. Where can we find you? You don't have to prompt me at the end, do you?
I can drop that on a Wednesday if you want.
Oh, you're all right.
I'll do it. It's all good. Yeah. I'll do it. Because it's not for me. I'll feel comfortable doing it.
Yeah,
it's right. Not. I'm the same. I'm not into sort of self-promotion. I'm not one of those guys that's like, hi, look at me. Here I am. Hello. I'm not. as loud as I am, I'm not. I'm quite taken aback of how many people actually interact with me. It beggars belief sometimes. I think, really? What? Hello?
Yeah, you're a popular guy in the community. You are.
Oh, shush.
You are. But no, I listened to the Games Talk Live by Fonz, Fonz Gaming, Fonz Rally Gaming, and he doesn't do it either.
Yep.
Throughout his show, sometimes he doesn't say it at all when he says, oh, I hate saying this, people, but can you please like and share Dealer and that, keep having a go at me for not saying it enough. But he's not big on it either, but he's bigger channel than ours. But he's an awesome guy. Good show.
Yes, he really is. Yeah, I watch him after the fact. I never get to catch him live, but I do watch him after the fact religiously.
Yeah,
I think he's brilliant.
He has agreed to come on in the future. So he will be a future guest. He has. That's another cool. one That's off brilliant. The list that I was after. But yeah, it's... Masuki was saying that he also thought that you and Tushy went way back. He did.
Yeah.
In chat, he was saying.
The thing is, me and Tushy, I think we have very similar sort of outlooks on life, I think. We did get on instantly as soon as we met, and he was the one who suggested you invite me onto the show the first time, I believe.
We're not talking about name. It was the name that intrigued me. I was like, who is that?
Yeah,
get him on. I was like,
those that are friends that are listening will understand exactly that name. Let's leave our chat for now, though, guys. Let's just leave it between us. Yeah, fair enough.
I've just remembered the name now. I'm not going to say it, though. Don't worry.
No, that's because, do you know what? I don't mind people knowing it. It's fine. That's where I was. But I do like it to be sort of an in-joke with my friends and stuff. Because when I jump into a party chat, they'll call me it and stuff. And even when I jump into sort of a stream with... pre-stream before we go live, when we're all getting all arranged and stuff, I get called it all the time in there as well, and I think it's fun to be for it to be just between us guys. Do you know what I mean? My closest friends that I talk to, and
I mean, probably
everybody in chat that's sat there right now knows it, and I'm trusting them not to put it in chat just in case that you're watched 5 million times.
Well, don't worry.
It's just more fun that way, I think.
I will. If the name comes up, I'm gonna delete the message. So obviously you've already said. Do you think you would ever do your own kind of podcast show? Even if it was a once a month show, or do you ever think you would do something yourself?
I'm not sure because
it's a hard one because it's saturated. There's tons of us.
It is. If you're going to do something different. So
yeah, I know.
I was tempted to set something up and do something this, that, or the other, but it's not come to fruition. I've spoken to a few people about it, and it is a good idea I've got, but. It wasn't until recently, because would you believe I've never been the most confident person, Stubbs? I've never been the podcasting people and the community have made me this confident. 6 months ago, I would never have agreed to do this. Never.
No? Okay. Nope. Well, that's good, that is.
It really is. So the thing is as well, I mean, Flamish has asked me, numerous occasions, can you host? And I did host the Flemish Experience once, and it went all to shit. But that wasn't all to do with the hosting as such. It was to do with how the stream was set up, that I wasn't capable of hosting the way it was set up because someone didn't listen, no names mentioned.
Okay.
All I needed was another method of streaming it, and it had been fine, so we had to do it on... I needed help from other people. But I've also since actually... hosted a episode of 4GQ TV as well.
Have you?
I hosted it. Which for me was massive, because like I said, I started listening to Four Guys with Quarters. That was the first thing. And the moment I got invited to be a panel member was like, what? I couldn't believe it. I could not believe I got invited. And then when he said, what, a month or so ago, any chance you can host? So I've gone from listening to religiously a podcast to being a panel member to actually being a host. It's surreal. But it has given me a lot of confidence.
Because like, I go on podcasts and that, but in real life, I don't have the confidence that you'd think I would have. It's completely different. It is. But I understand, because podcasts ain't easy, because a lot of people are watching you live. But there's also podcasting where no one's there live at all. You just put it out there, you record it, and then you just upload it, and that's it. But live, it's like, you've probably got more experience than me, because midweek gaming peaks at 20, 25 live-ish, whereas I'd imagine something like four GQTV could sometimes peak at a couple of hundred, if not a thousand.
It was running at about 375 last night, I think.
Oh, okay. See, that would scare me, that would.
Well, it doesn't matter. Your opinions are still your own, whether there's one person watching or a million. It's still your opinion. What does it matter? It doesn't matter what they think. If they think you're a dickhead, so what? Doesn't matter, does it?
No, it's true.
Do you know what? It used to bother me. It really would. Oh, God, I dare go on that show. No. But now, I've done a few presentations for people I work with, and I've worked with these people for years. And I'd get up in front of 20, 30 people. I'd go bright red. This was only, 2 years ago, I'd say. 2 years ago, maybe a year. Okay. I'd go bright red and I'd be stumbling and going, Now I think I could hold a room, not a problem. Well, I can hold a room, not a problem. But it's only because of this format that we're doing right now that I've garnered that confidence.
That's great. Excellent.
It really is, yeah.
It's helped you in real life as well, so that's really good, that is.
Yeah, it helps. It really does help, yeah. But now, as well, at work, I host a Teams call with, I don't know whether it's because I'm the right guy for the job or not, or I host a Teams call with a lot of directors and stuff.
Do you? Okay.
And talk them through stuff and things like this. And I'm not on camera, but... I do have a really, really dodgy image of me with like some cartoon sort of background and stuff, and they all laugh at and stuff, and I'm not frightened to hold the meeting in front of even directors and stuff now. Whereas before, I think it's because my boss is scared to host it.
Is that why? So
he just basically goes, "Can you present? I'll present, not a problem."
It's done you some good then, podcasting. It's boosting your confidence in real life and obviously streaming as well, and like hosting meetings at work. So that's quite, I'd imagine you work for quite a big company where it's quite a lot of executives. So that would be quite a daunting thought, that would be.
Well, it depends on the executives. It depends on which company, because we've got a parent company that's the biggest, one of the biggest shipping companies in the world. So that's it's huge, huge. But I don't usually talk to those. It's fine. They're beneath me. No, but what I was going to say, Stubbs, it must have changed you somewhat in your experience between, you know, you've been doing this a while now, right? This all. Getting questions off people and stuff like that. I'm sure your first Stubbscast, you were so nervous of your guest and stuff like that. I'm sure you must have been.
Funny enough, though, the actual first guest was the guy that concepted the brainchild of the program. Tom Wilde gave me the idea, a guy called Tom Wilde. And he gave me the idea. And he said, I'll never do it. He says, but you might be good at it. And he said, he told me, why don't you interview like curators and ask them about their journey into content curation and all sorts. And that's how it started. And then I didn't think anyone would like it, you see. So everyone was indie gamer. I think UK Daz was in there. There was Mass Mayhem. That was back when I was part of www.bg4ghub.com. I'm not anymore. And there were loads in there. And I was like, at the end, I was like, really, really good interview and all that. And I was like, and Tom was like, that went really well. We should do more. So this one, I'll see what everyone thinks. And everyone was DMing me. He's like, yeah, I think you should do more of these. And it just kept going. But it was weekly. When I started doing it, I started doing it weekly. And it was, I did. Every Saturday night it was when I first started it. Then, but yeah, when you think of it, it kind of has boosted my confidence in real life, because it's like, what's it called? So when I was doing that, I was in a job where I worked in a factory.
Yeah.
But I don't anymore. I work from a family business now, so yes. I deal with like commercial, like factories and stuff, and then we go into people's homes as well, deal with their pests, etc. But I have no problem going and talking to a customer now. But
yeah,
it was part of the job really. But It probably has. I just can't see where it's improved anything, because I don't have to do board executive meetings and all that kind of stuff. Even though I am a director, we have a director's meeting once a year or whatever. But just where you go and see your accountant, it sounds fancy. Just go and see, go and see the accountant. She tells you a load of stuff. But yeah, it probably has boosted me in real life, maybe. I've just not noticed it. Because I remember when I first started it, I was like, because I was like podcasting, because it's like I was scared to do it, and I've done it, and I kept doing it and doing it and doing it. It's like sometimes I have questions, you see,
yeah,
but I've got to the point now where, because I know you so well, haven't got any questions. So because I've done that many, I know roughly what to say, and if someone says something, I can trigger another question without actually writing down what I'm going to say. But sometimes, if it's somebody I don't know as well, I will write down key points as to ask. But with you, I know exactly what to say. But there has been multiple other people where I haven't scripted it at all, and you can't tell at all.
Yeah. I was going to say, once a week doing this must have been difficult, because even to get someone on to interview once a week, that must have been quite difficult, right?
No, because it was when I started to ramp it up, really, everyone was at home in the pandemic, you see? So a lot of people were quite willing, because they were in around the world, you know. I've had loads of people on. Graphic God, Mike from NLG. I've had Daz. I've had loads of people. But when I was doing weekly, I in the end had to stop doing weekly because it was getting hard. It weren't fair every Saturday night that on my missus and that. Every Saturday night it was the, you know, she's got to keep the kids upstairs in case they wake up, etc. Right. So in the end, I stopped doing it. I stopped doing it weekly, but it was hard coming up with guests. It wasn't always hard. It was, but I don't do it as much. I think if I try to do it weekly now, I might struggle. I might, because it's like I don't want to blow through a whole list of people and have no one to keep going with. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because I've not got no star power, but I've managed to get some fairly big names on. But this show's not all about the big names. It's more about the fun conversation. Because I'm not bothered if you've got 20 subscribers or you've got 100,000 subscribers. I mean, I've had 100,000 subscribers channels on there. I've had War Stew on here. He's a content creator in DC and Marvel, etc. Yep. And I've had like Dealer Gaming,
Rand. going to get Fon soon.
Fon soon. I haven't managed to yet get Colt Eastwood, but I will one day. I will one day be able to get him on, I hope. But yeah, it varies. I'm not that. It's more about the fun conversation. It's like I had a developer, and that was more brainchild by Removable Sanity. Really wanted to do a pod. It's not under the Stubbs cast, but it's on the Stubbs cast feed. But we called it developer in solo developer interview.
Yeah,
of a game called Heredity. That's it, Heredity. And he wanted. I said, well, I'm not very well versed in indie games. Oh, you'd be fine. Well, he led the interview, and he wanted me there because he says he's biased towards indie games. He says you're not, so you would make a good balance. But I found out on the show that he'd been following this game for years, and he really wanted to interview them, but he didn't really want to do it on his own channel. So we are going to do more developer interviews in the future. But that was a very different for me, interviewing a developer as opposed to a content curator, because you ask very different questions. It's not something I'm used to. So I learned something there, I did, about that. That's very different. Because imagine with you being on 4GQT, I say 4GQTV, they get some quite...
I'll tell you, they get
some very diverse guests from different stars on there too.
I was about to allude to that. Yeah, so that's the one thing that makes me really, really nervous. The interviews. I mean, I've done a couple.
Which ones?
I was on the one with Derek Robinson, Robertson, sorry, who is the creator of The Boys. He's the comic book artist and the co-creator of The Boys. That was very, very good. And there was the other one I did was with Alison Packard, who was a very, very, very talented voice actress. Luckily, obviously, Paris Lockhart is there to, you know, look after us, and because he's a very good and clowns as well. The pair of them are so professional.
You got Paris on the shows?
No, Paris Lockhart, not Paris Lilly. Paris Lockhart works for Microsoft. Within their Games Pass division. He's an honorary member of 4GQTV, and he organizes a lot of the interviews that 4GQTV get. He's an absolutely amazing fellow. If any of you don't follow him, please do. He's such a great guy. Just have a look at some of the 4GQTV interviews. He is amazing. He has and I'm plugging Paris right now, he has the biggest, I think it's Marvel group on Facebook. I think he's got 600,000 members, something like that. It's huge. It's huge.
Clowns has mentioned that, and it does cast it before.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's, and luckily he organizes some of the interviews and stuff, and he's so professional. He's brilliant. But yeah, when I was obviously, because I was a massive fan of the TV show The Boys, I got to interview obviously the creator of that. What an interesting guy he was. He's absolutely brilliant. He's, do you know what he's done? Anything you can imagine, production, artistry, creation, direction, everything you can imagine. He's just done everything. And Alison Packard was such a delight because she's a voiceover actress who's done stuff like Rugrats and things like that, and she's done a lot of of in-game. She's a couple of voices in some of the bigger games and stuff like that. It was so good. She was brilliant. And of course, straight away she embarrassed me before the show because she focused straight in, because she's an American lady, she focused straight in on the accent and embarrassed me. I just went bright red, like, oh, hi. I won't tell you what she said, but it was like, she focused straight in on the accent. It's like, hi, how are you?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, a lot of Americans do like the English accent.
Absolutely. But do you know what? That's the thing that still makes me nervous. Those interviews, because when you do an interview with somebody as high profile as that, you've got to make them feel like that interview is about them, no matter what. So you always have to ask them, do you know what? Is there anything you don't want us to ask? kind of thing. I mean, don't forget, 4GQ TV has had Steve Downes, the voice of Master Chief. They did an interview with him.
They have, yeah.
And that's when he dropped. He was the first person to drop the release date on 4GQ TV. Paris has actually interviewed the actor behind The Punisher, John Benthal. Oh, wow. Paris has actually interviewed him. That's featured on 4GQ TV as well from last year.
Nice. Because the actual date was right that he said until they delayed it for a month.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He said, yeah, it's looking good to come out for November. Fair enough.
It got quoted, didn't it? It blew up. All the media were quoting it, and he was right until it was delayed.
Absolutely, yeah. And yeah, those kind of things make me nervous because I just don't want to say the wrong thing. Only like I said before we started this is just a candid conversation between two friends, right? And that's fine. That's all good. But when you come across somebody that's high profile, that could get upset at something you ask, I just buckle under the pressure. I think I need more exposure to it.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, see, when you have certain guests, sometimes if, for instance, I'm not saying it ever happened, because I do know that Clowns does know Phil. Mm-hmm. If they, even though he knows him well, I believe that they have to go and vet the channel and the people, or Clowns maybe.
No, the thing is, Dubs, it's not just the channel. It's everybody who's on it.
Yeah, everyone's on it.
And everybody was on it as well. So I believe, would, even if I was not on the interview, I would be vetted as well.
I believe that they have to also submit all questions before the show.
Yeah.
As well. Because they obviously, and apparently when Phil's not saying that they probably will get an interview in one day, mm-hmm. he has a PR person in the stream with you. And he's in his ear in case he says something. And he's like, oh! And in case he's about to say something, basically, which I don't blame him. He's quite a high profile now.
And do you know what? That's the thing. I mean, if Phil says something just jokingly, the world will react. Not just a few people. Millions of people are going to be listening and saying, oh, this so-and-so said this, so-and-so said that. And if he alludes to, even jokingly, something that's possible in the future, if he alludes to something possible in the future, I mean, I remember an interview he did. And Phil is amazing. I think Phil's done such wonders for Xbox and Microsoft itself. He really has done a brilliant job for the brand. He did an interview, and I can't remember which channel it was, and I remiss because I would like to shout that channel out because it was really good. He was saying that. It was round about the launch of the this generation, and he was saying, there's this generation going, but when you talk about roadmap, we're looking at things 5 years in the future, 10 years in the future, 15 years in the future. So he's privy to all these plans. He's privy to what's 5 years, what's 10 years, what's 15 years. So when he's doing an interview, I can imagine it's very difficult for him to separate what he's allowed to say and what he's not. Because he knows so much. That must be such a hard thing to do. I mean, he does a brilliant job in interviews. I think he's absolutely fantastic. And you know what? If he ever got on there, I would love to say just hi. Just hello. How are you, sir? Thanks for everything you've done. And I'd leave him be. That's it. Do you know what I mean? I'm not a toxic person or like that, or even a fanboy. Yeah, I respect the man. He's done an absolute brilliant job. There's many more other people within the Xbox community that I would love to say hello to. Dan Greenewalt, for a start, who's head of Turn 10. I would love to say hello to that guy. Nebuchadnezzar on Xbox, if you don't follow him, but yeah, he's... Do you know what? I think he's done it. I think him and his team have done absolute wonders for the racing world with what they've done with Forza and the Turn 10 engine. But, you know, yes, you are vetted, but the things they know, it must be so difficult for them to say, look...
Well, when they vet you, from what I understand, it's not like they vet. It's not like they. It's just a background check to make out you're not some nutcase, or you're not involved with some groups that they can't be involved with. It's not like
agree.
I mean, that's all it is. It's just a, but it's for their company interest though. If they get associated with the wrong podcast, it will be trending on Twitter. Oh look, who showed?
But I dare say, if I just spent the last 6 months having a go at say just 6 months on Twitter, slagging off Sony, slagging off Xbox, saying, "Oh, you're all," if I did that kind of thing, I'm sure they would say, "Nope," because he's on your channel. And I don't get involved in that stuff anyway. I just don't care.
I know, that would go against you. I definitely agree with you. The woman who would be involved in that, they wouldn't be. But I understand it, because like, he's in an even higher position now. I bet it's even harder to get a bloody interview now.
I can imagine it is, yeah. Because he's got to be high in demand. And he's only going to go on the biggest channels. Because that's what gets exposure, right?
That's true. It is. But
I mean, I think 4GQTV is somewhere like somewhere below 4,000 followers, I think, something like that. So it's not one of the biggest channels out there.
Did you say
4,000, I think.
I think you're wrong. I think they've got like 20,000.
Is it really?
Well, you're on about the YouTube channel.
Sorry,
12,000 subscribers.
It's 12, sorry, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if
12,000 is pretty cool.
Yeah. It is. They probably go on the view rate and all that. I don't know how they judge it. They probably look how well respected and you are in the community, etc.
I don't know how
I don't know how it works. They've probably got a policy inside the company on what shows they go on.
That's all right. I'm trying to gain respect, Stubbs, in the community. It's fine.
Yeah. But no, it's an interesting take on interviews you've had where you're not used to interviewing them types of people. But thanks for telling me your experiences on them, because it's all learning. Because I need to try and interview someone like that you're talking. Oh. Like that. I'm not saying I'll ever get anybody like that, but it'd be very different.
Like I said, you know what? It needs to be all about the person you're interviewing. It has to be how is this and how is that? I mean, I've seen some interviewers say, what was it like working with so-and-so? Do you know what? If you need to know that question, go and ask so-and-so. You can't ask somebody in a high-profile position that kind of thing. You've seen it when the interview actors, what was it like working with Tom Cruise? Like, well, I'm here because of me, not because I work with that guy. So you have to try and make it about their accomplishments, what they do, who they've worked with, or things like that. So. I can assume that's one of the annoying things that comes up.
Well, also the fact that the people that are in high demand probably get asked the same bloody questions all the time. Yeah. And they would respect you for asking different questions as well, because the same people get asked the same old questions when they're high profile. And they know it, you know. So, because they probably tell you. Thanks for these questions. They're very. People just normally ask the same old questions, don't they? So yeah, you are right. It's got to be all about them, because that's the reason they're on the show.
Yeah.
To interview them, they are. Yeah. Welcome, Indie Gamer. Yes, we are live.
And always ask them as well before you start. Is there anything you don't want me to ask?
Well, I do generally say it when I DM people saying I won't bing, so don't worry, I won't. We won't go per private, you know what I mean? I don't like to do people. But like I often do say, if there's anything you don't want me to talk about, just say.
Absolutely. That's key. That's what I found on the interviews I've done with or sat in with. Very key.
It's true, but yeah. Sure, what Indy's on about. I think he's missed a bit where you were talking about who you'd previously interviewed on 4GQTV.
So I have been in interviews with Derek Robertson, who is the creator of the comic book The Boys. I kind of fanboyed out a little bit there because I'm a massive fan of what they did with the TV show. And there was one question I wanted to ask, and I did ask it. But do you know what? If you want to know what it was, you gotta go and sit, you're gonna go and have a look at 4GQ TV. Yeah. And there was another lady I interviewed called Alison Packard, who is a voice actress, and she's on the new Rugrats. She's a voice actress on that, but she's done lots and lots of games. Again, you want to see the full interview, 4GQ TV. Alison Packard. It's Alison with a Y, by the way. And she's on Twitter as well, under the same name. And she's a very interesting lady. There you go, Indy.
Yeah, I've caught you up a little bit. But yeah, it is interesting that you've had the opportunities to go on there, because I'd imagine though now, because of how, so obviously if you wanted to go to any events in the UK, you could ask Clowns and he could probably get you into a lot of these press access.
Yes, already guaranteed.
That's all right, yeah. That is, if you ever wanted to go, you could get in without paying.
I'm tempted to go to the UK one, but it all depends on situation at home and stuff. Because obviously home life right now, as you know, as some of you know, is very difficult, but...
That's fair.
We're not going to go into that.
No. Well, I'm not even planning on going to gaming events this year. Anyway.
What is the UK one? Is it CGX, I think?
There's EGX and there's EGX Rest.
Yeah,
Rest is more, I think, Indy will probably tell me if I'm wrong. I think EGX Rest is more on the indie side of Spectrum. I might be wrong on that. I believe, because there's two, there's EGX and EGX Rest. He's going to correct me in a minute. I bet you've got it wrong.
Well, he's saying it's EGX, yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, sorry, EGX Rest is no longer. It's just EGX now.
Okay.
Yeah. I went to that when it was just called Eurogamer years ago when it first started. It was a tiny show in London, and it wasn't very big at all. It wasn't, because I remember it was quite funny, right? Because I went with somebody. I know they got press access, right? Right. We pay. It took him longer to get in the building than us.
Wow. So did he have more access or not? Or...
Back then it was Eurogamer. There wasn't really much more access he got. He just got free entry. There wasn't really much more there. It was a tiny, he's expanded now. It's a massive show. But him getting in for free with his badges or whatever, and took him 20 minutes to get in. We walked straight in, stamped a ticket, and we were in. We were waving at him.
Did he get more access inside than you did, or was it the same?
No, because we followed him. They weren't really bothered. They weren't. We walked around with him with his stuff and that, and they let us through. This is back when they weren't. It was just called, the great event was called Eurogamer. But it is what EGX is now. But it was a tiny event. It was. But back in the PS3 days, I think. That was.
I'm tempted to go to the Germany one as well. I can't remember what that one's called in Cologne.
The biggest Cologne, biggie Euro.
Yeah.
No, that's, hang on. Gamescom.
Yeah. But I'm you tempted have to. Go to that.
But I'll, sure. I'd wait a couple of years to see if that comes back, because Germany.
Yeah, it's not going to be this year.
It's
going to
be.
Yeah. So, we'll see what happens.
We will. We will. Hopefully, it always stalls eventually. Hopefully.
Yeah. So again, I can get press access to both and stuff. And for the Germany one, I think I'd like to meet up with Flamish and probably do it together for 4GQ TV.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be quite nice.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. That will be you. It is the one, because all the old bang on about E3, how big it is. But what people don't realise is the actual footfall in when Gamescom is at its peak, obviously, the situation before all this madness kicked off. The Eurogamer for footfall traffic, not Eurogamer, Gamescom's for footfall traffic is bigger than E3. And when you tell people, they don't believe you, but it is. It's something like 300,000 200,000 or 300,000 people in a few days. It's something like that. It's mental. Yeah,
that's because I've never been to anything like that. I went to a silly thing up here in up north at the Did and stuff, and it was quite kind of tiny that they did in my city, but it wasn't anything big. It was just like a local thing just to try and get people involved with games and stuff like that. It was quite fun. I met a really small Master Chief. There was a guy in a Master Chief costume. He must have been 5'6". So obviously, me being 6 foot, I took a picture next to him, and he's like tiny.
Wow,
it's really good. I'll have to try and dig it out.
That's funny. That is.
It just makes me look massive. Yeah, because obviously we all know Master Chief 7 foot plus, but yes, he was tiny.
What height are you then?
I'm just 6 foot, just probably a couple of mil underneath 6 foot.
Oh, I'm about 6'3".
You're a big boy, though. I know you're a big boy.
Not as big as it was, because I've dropped off stone and four and a half pounds, so I'm not as big as I was. But I'm getting smaller by the week.
Yeah, but you're not gonna drop in height, are you, dude?
No, I'm not. No, definitely not. But no, it's been a fun. So, if you were to, so this, I've asked you the question about future content. You still not decided on that. So, if you were to give. Obviously, you've got a lot of experience in the podcasting. You also stream. So if you were to give any advice, anyone who wants to make content or even jump in to start podcasting, what would the advice you give to them if you were to say someone wants to start podcasting? Or what advice would you give?
Do you know what? There's no one better than you than yourself. Because what I'm saying is, you can't pretend to be something you're not. Do you know what? If you want to do it. But just be yourself. Be honest. Don't come in and start doing all silliness, pretending you're something you're not and trying to get views and things. It's not about the views. Just do it if you enjoy it. Be you. If people like you, people like you. If they don't, it's fine. You'll find people that'll like you eventually. Take your time. Just plod on. Do you know what? Rome wasn't built in a day, was it?
No, it wasn't.
I think the theory is now that we see so many massive, massive podcasters, streamers, content creators. What people forget is that they haven't been doing it for 3 days. They haven't been doing it for 3 weeks. These guys have been doing it for 5, 6, 7 years to master what they need to do. Take your time and just find yourself. That's the ethos I'm going by, because let's be honest, I've been doing this about a year ish on and off. My YouTube channel even less so, my Twitch channel even less so. Just be yourself. If it's what you enjoy, enjoy it. Don't try and force it upon yourself in a week, because it's never going to happen. I think that's probably the best advice I could ever give.
No, that's great advice. That is definitely true. It is, because the better content creators, you can tell that are genuine. There are some that basically, if you fake it these days, people can tell if you're being a bit of a fake. They can. Genuine people normally shine through, but that's the best way to be. It is.
I'd like to use, and he's very underrated, and everyone should follow him, Goat Force Gaming as an example.
Oh, my friend, he is awesome. Yes. Goat Force is the man.
Let me use him as an example, right? You go on Goat Force Gaming's YouTube channel, yeah, and he loves his rogue games, yeah. And you know what? Yes. As he's playing it, as he's talking to it, you can feel that he loves it. You can feel, and people, your audience can tell if you're being fake, and your audience can tell if you're not enjoying yourself. Someone like Goat Force, and as I said, is underrated. You can just feel the love for the game he's got, and that's where I think he excels in that kind of game, because he loves it. your audience can tell if you're pretending.
Oh, they definitely can, because I remember, because I've known him quite a long. I mean, I met him when he first came into the community,
yeah.
And he, for starts with, it was me and Indie Gamer. You know, I don't know if you know this. He used to make his videos with a Vox on it, so he'd sound like a robot. You know, like he had a voice modulator over it. And in the end, me and Indie Gamer wore him down, and he finally revealed his voice. And that's when people, there's nothing wrong with your voice. But and then he's progressed. He found his what's it? How do you say?
His niche.
He found his niche. He's passionate. Like, you can tell he absolutely loves it. Currently, he's doing a run on Spelunky 2, which he's also convinced me to start playing. And I've died about 55,000 times so far. But I'm giving it a go.
He is the reason why him and Flamish also. They are the reason that I even tried to play Hades. I join GOAT when I can. Do you know what? I even spoke to him about it early on and stuff, and said, "Look, you can tell that you're enjoying it. You can tell that you actually have a love for this type of game." I think it was before he decided to make it that type of game only. And I said, "Your audience can tell if you're not enjoying it.
They can.
If you're on Twitch or YouTube and you're playing a game, and you sat there going, "Yeah, this is good. Yeah, this is good." Yeah, this is good. You can tell. Whereas if you're actually laughing along and just being a complete idiot and being yourself, if that's the case, people will warm to you.
They will. But you can definitely tell, because I always say to him, how do you... Because he says, I says, like, the games he plays are quite hard. I says, how do you enjoy it? He says, it's what I enjoy. Because I do try the rogues likes. And lights, but I'm not as good as him. He says, I just enjoy it. The more I die, the more you learn about the game, and you get better. But yeah, true passion. He's been on the podcast as well, people, if you want to check out the one, because he made it. And I wanted him to come on pretty quick, and he wouldn't come on until he gained 100 subscribers. Then he came on. Then that was his rule, not mine. He made it. I don't feel I deserve it until I've hit 100 subscribers. Now he's at something like 330. So he's doing well. He should have more.
Do you know what? It'll come. It will. To a guy like that, it will definitely come. Because as soon as you join his stream, you can tell how much he loves what he's doing. And I think that's key.
It is. I will DM him in a bit and say, you had mentioned it into the show. But animated. But no, it's great advice in general. It is. It's great philosophy. It is to use animated. It is. But yeah, it's been a fun chat tonight. It's been a great conversation. It has.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed
it. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. Dude, really. Good. I'm glad
now. You're now in the Stubbs Cast book. Now that's it. You'll be on the Spotify feed soon.
I'm in the little black book.
Yeah, you're in the black down there. Randall Ford's in there, Dealer's in there, everyone.
Absolutely. It's an honourable list to be on as well. Indie Gamer as well. An honourable list to be on.
Yes, he was with when Jeepers Reviews was on. I will get Indie Gamer back for a solo interview at some point, but he's a busy man these days, so I'll have to see if I can pin him down for an interview at some point. He is, but... But yeah, it's been fun having you on. I've now had the whole of the Midweek Gaming crew on the show, bar VJ. I don't think that's ever going to happen for any kind of interview, he's told me. So, yeah, thanks for coming on. Would you like to tell people where they can find you? But also, people, the links are in the description. But I'm sure Animated Evil will tell you.
Yeah, do you know what? We described the podcast. You can find me on weekly at the beginning of the show. So if you've not heard the beginning of the show, go back and you will find out where I'm on podcast and what time I do my shit there. So if you listen to it at the end, go back to the beginning, try again. No, but yes, other than the podcast and stuff like that, You will find me on Xbox and Twitch at on AnimatedEvil857. And I am on Twitter and YouTube at Animated_Evil. Don't forget, people, chat, like and subscribe, because Stubbs won't ask you to do it. Okay? He's too shy.
Thanks for that. Yeah, thanks. Please like, share, and subscribe. And also, if you're on Spotify, please drop a 5-star rating if you feel we're worth it. And also, Apple Podcasts, drop a 5-star review. It helps the podcast algorithm, because I'm really trying to boost the podcast numbers, because I like people watching on YouTube, also live, also podcast. Anywhere you want to listen, it's great. It is. I'm not sure when the next Stubbscast will be, but I will tweet it out when this happens. But thank you very much for coming on, Animated Evil. And for once, I did not call you. I did not call you. I've got a habit sometimes on Midweek Gaming of calling Animated Removal Sanity. I didn't do it this time.
Do you know what? It's fine, because I'm a mixture of Tushy and Removable. I'm as loud as Removable, but I have a, you know, it's the demeanor of Tushy. So on Community Games Night, there's certain people that call me Tushy. Okay. So you're more than welcome to call me Tushy too. It's fine. Those people know who they are.
Yeah, okay. So thanks for coming on, Animated Evil. It's been fun.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Thanks for dropping in, everyone. We'll see you all soon.
See you later, boys and girls.
Yeah. Bye.